Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. Yesterday, we spent our time trying to gain a good understanding of the division of the nation of Israel into two kingdoms in the year 930 BC, shortly after the death of King Solomon. It is far more than a piece of history. Oh, my friends, it is one of the most significant events in biblical history, for it shaped much of the story of Israel from 930 BC all the way to our present day. And of course, all the remainder of the Old Testament, from 1 Kings chapter 12, all the way to Malachi chapter 4, and even to the days of Jesus, took place in the shadow of this implosion of the nation of Israel after King Solomon. I use the word implosion intentionally, for there was no external force, no foreign enemy, no invasion, which caused the collapse of Israel. It was sin, the sins of King Solomon, by bringing into Israel and even into Jerusalem the idol false gods of other nations, which included grave immorality and perverseness, including the sacrificing of children. God's declaration of judgment upon Solomon and the nation of Israel was clear in 1 Kings chapter 11. The nation of Israel would be torn apart by God himself. In the months which followed that breakup of the nation of Israel, God began to bring his forewarned punitive justice upon both King Rehoboam and the southern kingdom, the little nation of Judah, which was two tribes of Judah and Benjamin, with their capital in Jerusalem, and also King Jeroboam and the northern kingdom of 10 tribes, which retained the name Israel, with their capital in Samaria. Today, we'll look at King Jeroboam's judgment, and tomorrow we'll look at King Rehoboam's judgment. Following Jeroboam's shocking, hand-shriveling encounter with a man of God at the golden calf idol altar at Bethel, which we saw day before yesterday, as recorded in 1 Kings chapter 13, King Jeroboam next faced the severe illness of his son, whom he loved and whom he assumed would rise up to one day sit on his throne. 1 Kings chapter 14 gives us this important account. Jeroboam urged his wife to disguise herself and travel to Shiloh, which was almost exactly halfway between Jerusalem and Samaria. Do you remember Shiloh? This is where Hannah prayed diligently for a son, and when God miraculously blessed her with a baby boy, she named him Samuel. And when old enough, Hannah brought young Samuel to Shiloh to live at the tabernacle and serve with God. Samuel became a great prophet leader and was the prophet who anointed both King Saul and later King David as the first two kings of Israel, according to 1 Samuel. King Jeroboam sent his wife to seek counsel about their dying son from the prophet Ahijah, who lived in Shiloh. This is the same prophet who had met Jeroboam and given him the startling news that God had selected him to lead the 10 tribes as they broke away from King Rehoboam, and that God would bless and guide Jeroboam if Jeroboam would remain faithful to God. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 19. The prophet Ahijah was blind in his old age, but God told him that King Jeroboam's wife was coming and what to tell her. Can you imagine her shock when, as she knocked on the door, Ahijah called her by name and invited her in and told her God had prepared him for her visit? I presume she hoped Ahijah would have good news. Her heart broke as she listened to some of the most brutal news any mother could ever hear. For God's judgment was spoken against King Jeroboam and his despicable failure and rebellion against God. You'll find Ahijah's message from God in 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 6 to 16. God's assessment of King Jeroboam was, "You have done more evil than all who lived before you. You have made for yourself other gods, idols made of metal. You have aroused my anger and turned your back on me." Therefore, God's judgment on King Jeroboam, both short-term and long-term, would be this, as spoken by Ahijah, the prophet of God. First, God would bring disaster upon Jeroboam's household. No male descendant of Jeroboam would survive, so Jeroboam's family line would cease, beginning with his sick son, who would die when Jeroboam's wife arrived home. And second, the rebellious people of Israel, who have followed in abandoning God, would eventually be uprooted from their land by an invading kingdom far more powerful than they. 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 15. King Jeroboam's wife was stunned, but God had spoken his judgment on Jeroboam's horrific rebellion. As she arrived home, the boy did die and was buried. The remainder of Jeroboam's life, as far as we know, was lived in hard-hearted rebellion against God, and he died knowing his rebellion would bring disaster on his family and on the people of Israel long after he was gone. Oh my, what a failed, disastrous legacy from a man who had such great potential but turned his back on God. It's a frightening warning, isn't it, my friends? Tomorrow, we'll see how God dealt with King Rehoboam, who also was turning the people of Jerusalem away from God. For today, let's recognize God's justice is based upon his unwavering holiness, and every person, especially every leader, will stand before holy God in accountability. The song I've chosen today celebrates the wonderful truth that God's judgment for sin is full, holy justice. But Calvary and the price Jesus paid is available to rescue you and me and anyone. It's a song to help us gain a fuller appreciation of God's judgment on Jeroboam. Subtitles on the screen of this song are both English and Spanish to help us remember God's loving offer is for every person in the whole world. I'll see you here tomorrow, and God bless you today as you listen to this song, my friends.